Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com. Did you know that half of America is single? Hollywood has never produced anything like this before. The Dating Project, a groundbreaking documentary that follows five single people, ages 18 to 40, as they search for authentic and meaningful relationships. There is no script. There are no actors. These are real people trying to find love and happiness in an age of swiping left or right. From Empower Pictures, Paulus Productions, Family Theater Productions, and PureFlix, you can now own The Dating Project. Save the date by visiting thedatingprojectmovie.com and go a step further and help others in your circle date differently by partnering with Ascension Press. Visit shop.ascensionpress.com to acquire the companion study guide. The Dating Project Movie is now available on DVD and digital download on Amazon, iTunes, and Walmart. Please visit thedatingprojectmovie.com for details.
Hi there, this is Chuck Coughlin again, attempting to set the record straight on breadboxmedia.com. Something rather intriguing today. We're going to look back in history on one of the great confrontations between two powerful individuals. A clash of wills between one of the great barbarian leaders of history and one of the great popes of history, Leo the First, Leo the Great, Saint Leo the Great. Leo the Great was an ardent theologian, a defender of the faith, and a pastoral simple man, a man of holiness. Leo the First is one of only three pontiffs who have been given the title Great. You know the others, St. Gregory the Great and St. John Paul II. Leo was pope from 440 to 461 Anno Domini. When he was elected pope, it was a time when Rome was in terrible shape. Actually in chaotic shape. If he was anything, Leo was capable. He was the right pontiff to steer it through the raging waters of cultural and political strife. One of Leo's greatest contentions and accomplishments, actually, was that the Catholic Church should be closely unified throughout its whole global stretch. Heretical factions were popping up throughout the faithful. The Manichees, who held that evil was coeternal with the good. The Nestorians, who attacked Mary's title of Theotokos. The Monophysites, who contended that Christ could not have been human and divine, and the Pelagians, who taught that man could achieve his own goodness by his own unaided will, and had no need for the grace of God. Leo the Great was a staunch defender of the primacy of Peter, not because he held the office, but because of Christ's call to have an authoritative head of his church, through which the will of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit would find an embodiment. An earthly avatar for the grace of God. Leo had a great devotion to St. Peter, the first pope. And that devotion was expressed in a desire, because he was a very old man, that when he died, he would be buried as close to the grave of St. Peter as he could. Of course, St. Peter is entombed deep under the altar of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. When he died, he was at first buried in the vestibule of St. Peter's Basilica. And about 200 years later, Pope Sergius had his remains transferred to the basilica itself, close to that sarcophagus which contains the remains of St. Peter. There was a special altar erected over his remains, directly beneath the altar specially dedicated to St. Leo. His dedication to St. Peter is of importance to the theme of my podcast. You'll find out why in a minute. He practiced the office of pontiff most profoundly at the Council of Chalcedon. But there was a more dramatic event that occurred that showed how he exercised his negotiating skills as Pope. Leo the Great was great at the art of the deal. He showed great courage and an artful intellect in dealing with the coming Hun army and its infamous leader, Attila the Hun. Yes, the Huns were setting their ravenous sights on the great city of Rome. The enemies of the empire were the uncivilized barbarian tribes who had previously lived outside the empire. They'd been kept under control by Rome's mighty armies. But the strength of the armies, along with everything else in the empire, was slowly decaying. Roman citizens had lost their ability to fight, so that the Roman emperors had been forced to recruit soldiers, actually from the barbarians themselves. Most of the good officers had more in common with their fellow tribesmen across the frontier than with their corrupt Romans that they were defending. The first permanent breach of Rome's frontier wasn't achieved by Attila, but in 378 earlier, when the Goths won the Battle of Adrianople, defeating and killing Emperor Valens. Well, somehow they managed to sign a peace treaty. Yes, a peace treaty. And the effect of that was to allow the Goths to settle in, make farms, raise family, become Roman citizens, pretty much. But there was a famous day, December 31st, 406 was the year. On December 31st, the Rhine River, Rome's northwestern frontier, a defendable frontier, froze. The Rhine River froze all the way across with thick ice. Even a large horse could come across with no risk at all. Tribe after tribe of barbarians swarmed across the border and into the empire, led by the savage Vandals. The Visigoths, that's Western Goths, Visigoths, swept through Gaul and onto Spain while the Vandals continued all the way to North Africa, and they conquered that area. Then came Alaric. Leading the Goths, he invaded Rome, sacked it. Had Rome ever been conquered before? No, Alaric was the first. Actually, it was Rome that conquered others, not others who conquered Rome. It was thought to be invulnerable. Alaric conquered Rome and pillaged it and sacked it. But Alaric died soon after, and when he died, the Goths withdrew. But the whole idea, the myth of Rome's invincibility, this great image of imperial, undefeatable Rome, had been forever shattered, and the emperor in the West was virtually powerless, forced to do the bidding of whatever barbarian chieftain held power at the moment. So these barbarians weren't totally strange to the Romans, having lived in their borders for many years. But in the 450s, something new happened. The Huns, a tribe of Orientals from Central Asia. They themselves, the Huns, had been driven out of China by the Chinese emperor and were now pushing toward Rome. And yes, they were led by Attila the Hun, who wanted to establish an Asiatic empire in Europe to replace the Roman Empire. In 452, in August, they swept through northern Italy, causing whole populations to scatter.
An unstoppable advance.
Everyone panicked, people and rulers alike. On the day that Attila was preparing to attack the city of Rome,
he looked across the river, and he couldn't believe his eyes. He saw something very strange and really odd-looking. It was a procession, a religious procession. Quite ornate, banners held high, vestments. There was chanting. The procession was coming toward him, very slowly.
Priests, monks, and deacons bearing crosses and banners. From the entire column, the rhythmical responses of hymns and psalms were heard. In the midst of the procession rode an old man with a white beard, praying as he rode. Attila the Hun galloped toward the river, urged his horse on into the water, and halted on a sandy islet within hailing distance of the strangers. "What is your name?" Attila shouted to the old man. Came the answer, "I am Leo the Pope." Attila hesitated. Then he urged his horse on and swam to the far bank. The Pope came forward to meet him. "What happened?" "Well, I'll tell you in a minute, but a few hours later, Leo returned to Rome, and all he would say to their Emperor Valentinian III was, 'Let us give thanks to God, for he has delivered us from great danger.' Attila ordered his Huns to retreat. Rome was safe. With Attila's sudden death the following year, the Hunnish host broke up." You know, I've wondered about that strange parallel. Alaric conquered. Soon after, Alaric died. Attila conquered Rome. And a year later, he died. Coincidence? Oh, probably. Funny, though, isn't it? Now, let's back up a little bit. What happened in those few minutes that caused Attila to retreat, leaving everything undisturbed and unharmed? Well, we have an eyewitness that wrote down that account. You do know that there were quite a few literate people in the Roman Empire. About 10%, but that was about 7.5 million literate people. You know, it always bothers me a little bit that a lot of people draw sort of a historical fog over the early Catholic Church, over that period in Rome, and say we don't know much about what went on. We know quite a bit about what went on, when it's really also well documented and really superbly documented. Anybody that needed to read and write did. In any event, I'll read this eyewitness account. Listen to this. "Attila, the leader of the Huns, who was called the Scourge of God, came into Italy inflamed with fury after he had laid waste with most savage frenzy Thrace and Illyricum, Macedonia and Moesia, Achaia and Greece, Pannonia and Germany. He was utterly cruel in inflicting torture, greedy in plundering, insolent in abuse." Sounds like a monster, doesn't he? The account goes on. "Leo was on fire within himself, full of compassion for his flock. He knew the horror that was about to visit itself on the people of Rome. He had to stop it. And with one of the councils and a large part of the Roman Senate, he went out to meet Attila. The old man of harmless simplicity, venerable in his gray hair and his majestic garb, ready of his own will to give himself entirely for the defense of his flock. He went forth to meet the tyrant who was destroying all things. The Pope came face to face with Attila at a spot near the river Mincio, and he spoke to the grim monarch, saying, 'The Senate and the people of Rome once conquered the whole world. Now, indeed vanquished, they come before you as supplicants. We pray for mercy and deliverance. O Attila, thou King of Kings, thou couldst have no greater glory than to see suppliant at thy feet this people, before whom once all peoples and kings lay suppliant. Thou hast subdued, O Attila, the whole circle of the lands which it was granted to the Romans, victor over all peoples to conquer. Now we pray, thou who hast conquered others, conquer thyself. The people have felt thy scourge. Now, as suppliants, they would feel thy mercy.'" As Leo said these things, Attila stood looking upon his venerable garb and aspect, silent, as if thinking deeply. And lo, suddenly there were seen the apostles, Peter and Paul, clad like bishops, standing by Leo, one on the right hand, one on the left. They held swords stretched over his head and threatened Attila with death if he did not obey the people's command. "Wherefore,
Attila was appeased. And friends, that is the eyewitness account of the confrontation between Leo the Great and Attila the Hun, and the astounding vision, the vision of Peter and Paul. It wasn't Leo alone that was confronting Attila. It was Leo, Peter, and Paul. I wonder if you appreciate what's really amazing about this event. Why did this happen? Attila, he was an infamous monster. He lived life on his own terms. He always, over years and years of conquering, had very little regard toward the will or desires of others. This man became one of the most famous tyrants in the history of the world. And he came face to face with a man, Pope Leo, who was struggling just to keep up his own inner guard. Yet the power of Leo's holiness and desire for nonviolence was probably treasured by God, who granted such an incredible vision and incredible assistance of St. Paul and Leo's most revered saint. St. Peter stood at his side. No wonder Attila hesitated and then withdrew. This is an eyewitness account. If you doubt it, if you're a bit skeptical, I understand that. Who knows? But what about this? You and I weren't there. This person who wrote this account was, and this is what they saw. And whatever happened was indeed powerful. Why? Seems to have led to Attila backing away from his intent to pillage and destroy. You know something, this couldn't have been the first ruler of a country, say, or a city-state, to come out to meet with Attila and ask for mercy, or maybe at the least a treaty. Yet, it is only Pope Leo, garbed as a holy man, who was able to bend the will of the famed battle leader, Attila the Hun. Why? Maybe you suspect why. Could it have been the vision? Could it have been Peter and Paul standing there? This powerful vision, it certainly seems so. So often, some of the most interesting events in history are when two people, two purposeful people with wills of their own, desiring to dominate the other one, meet each other. Yet in Leo's case, there was a different will at play. The profundity of the act of nonviolence and humility toward a man who held weakness in no regard went far deeper than a simple battle of wills. This was one of history's great rupturings of the constant answer to violence being violence, more violence. Leo certainly knew that Attila could have annihilated Rome and its citizens, and him too, and yet he was the shepherd of the flock and was willingly to courageously meet this trouble face to face. Not in a reactionary, willful desire to prove his own papal power, but rather as a humble servant to a will much greater than his. Leo echoed the words of our Lord in the Garden of Eden when he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Even if that meant Leo giving his own life. There was certainly one of the feuds or encounters between two men that would change the fate of the world. It was an earth-shattering moment that saved the Catholic entity, the Christian entity, which was in dire shape, was tottering. This confrontation was not one that ended up in having more hurt and pain suffered by the innocent and the non-innocent too. No, it was a moment of great grace because one man had the courage to be a channel of the grace and humility of God, the God he served. St. Pope Leo I, the Great. This has been Setting the Record Straight. I'm Chuck Coughlin. Just wanted to point out one of the shining moments in history occurred when Leo and Attila met face to face. Attila, who brought terror wherever he went, was now terrified. Yes, he also faced Leo's two magnificent allies from heaven. This is Chuck Coughlin. Join me again sometime
and God bless you all. This is Setting the Record Straight on Breadbox Media.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.